It's Macy's big home sale with savings for every room. Pillows and comforters from Hotel Collection, Charter Club, and more, 50 to 60% off. All Cuisinart, 30 to 50% off, plus a $25 mail-in gift card. And take 50% off luggage, plus a $50 mail-in gift card. Plus, get an extra 15 or 10% off with your Macy's card or savings pass. Now at Macy's big home sale. Savings off regular and sale prices, exclusions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Know it's time. Y'all know what time it is. It's V's After Dark Sports. You got me, Miss V, and James Acevedo. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah.
We have this little glitch every now and then.
Yeah, you should. If you would have had a camera on me, you would have laughed because here I am thinking I'm opening the show. Because I was trying
you
to
You were
ask.
Supposed to be open the show. It was kind of silent. I was like, what the hell is going on?
And I would say, hey, what's up, Sports V's? I even came up with a terminology. And then I hear you talk. I said, oh, I guess I wasn't supposed to lead.
No, you were supposed to, but it was silent. So I kind of figured out. You guys, we're still working out these little technical glitches when I don't hear
you.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm muted. That's what it was.
I didn't mute you.
Yeah, what happened then? What the hell happened?
It's, you know, we have our little conference before the show, and when I switched us out of the conference area back over, for whatever reason, it doesn't pull you up right. So I guess I have to take you from the conference area to the hold area back live. I guess I can't take you up live. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. See, so you thinking it was me. It's like, oh, you forgot to leave.
No, I kind of realized. No, because, you know, we have our little conference. See, everybody listening in our conversation, I know they love this shit. We just have a full-fledged fucking conversation. Like, you know, like ain't nobody there telling all our business.
That's why we're so good at this.
For you guys who... So let's start this over. Would you do the intro, please?
Okay. Crazy, sexy, cool. Hey, what's up, my sports V's out there? This is, of course, Miss V, the Toy Lady's co-host, James Acevedo. Welcome to Ask Miss V Sports. I am James Acevedo. Of course, here's the host of this show, Miss V, the Toy Lady. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How you doing? We got all kind of good sports talk to,
yeah.
Sports stuff to talk about.
Yes, it's nice to have a smooth show intro. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
nice,
you know.
And smooth, no glitches. See, we're professionals here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we know what
we're
doing.
I want to start this show off with the news of the day.
Yes, go ahead. You lead.
News of the day. The Detroit Pistons hired.
Yep.
Stan Van Gundy.
I had this as my number one, too.
He is.
Yep.
Our new coach and general manager.
Congrats.
And he's going to be carrying – he's one of the few coaches, along with Doc Rivers and I forget who the other guy is, who is carrying dual roles, coach and general manager. He's in charge of player operations. So he will have that, and he has full total control without the front – the front office will still have their hands in some things. But
mm-hmm.
You know, as they say, as the general manager, they asked him a question. I was watching the news conference. They said, well, how are you going to handle this being coach and general manager? And he said, well, you know, as an any manager, when the team wins, I'm going to be high-fiving the coach. But he's like, when the team lose, I'm going to be, you know, what the fuck is going on? So it was kind of nice to hear him say that, you know, just like any other manager, he's not going to be happy when they lose. And he's going to have a talk with his coach. You know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
and,
Yeah, he signed a five-year contract. I'm sorry, a five-year contract worth $35 million.
Yes.
Does he look better looking to you now, Ms. V?
He's still. You know what? $35 million still don't make him no more attractive than that damn crazy ass Dennis Rodman. I'm sorry. You know?
Don't he look like Ron Jeremy a little bit?
Yeah, that, I was looking at that. And you know what? I'm not really attracted to Ron Jeremy either. I'm serious. I mean, he's an average guy. I mean, plus this man has a wife and children, you know.
Yeah.
But even if he didn't have a wife and children, Miss V would not be on the let me come get on your jock bandwagon. Let's get that clear.
Exactly. So give us your thoughts about this big hiring.
Money does not make me go after her person.
Yeah, so in other words, money doesn't make you moist.
No, it really doesn't. Now, if my man gets $35 million for 5 years, shit, I might go buy him a bitch along. Hey, baby. You said you thought she was cute. Come here, little woman. Come here, woman. Yeah, you hot mama. My man like you. Now, you can't have none of the money. I'm just bringing you over to introduce.
Yeah. No. That's the contract. Here, sign here. That way you can't say shit. Because that'd be in breach of contract. You'd be screwed.
That non-disclosure that I have you sign up front.
I love the move. I always loved the Van Gundys. As you know, Jeff Van Gundy, his brother, was a head coach of the Knicks for a long time back in the 90s, and then he went on to coach the Rockets at one point. What I love about both of them, as much, you know, Stan and Jeff, is that they're very outspoken. And you're going to have a very good, interesting press conferences and stuff if shit don't go well. Because Stan Van Gundy don't bite his tongue for nothing. So it'll be very interesting. I think it's very good for the Pistons. They need to do something. Boy, that franchise needs help. They need more than a facelift. They need a whole franchise.
Well, you know, the one thing he said that it was nice to come to a franchise where when you walk in the building. Yeah, he's rebuilding a franchise, but he said it was nice to walk in and see all of the championship banners and the retired numbers up there, because for anybody who knows the history of the Pistons, we have not always been the shit team of the league.
No.
You know, we, in the 80s and 90s.
Early
we
90s,
were,
yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and even up until the beginning of the 2000s.
Yeah, 2004, you beat
we
the
were,
Lakers.
We
yeah.
were a fucking team to contend with. So
mm-hmm.
we haven't always been the fucking shit team. So
no.
for a coach to come in and say, you know, and I'm going to say this because we know that we could talk about teams. Unlike the fucking Clippers, who now they've done a turnaround, but they, you know, they didn't get a coach. From my understanding, when Gundy went in there, because wasn't he in charge of the Clippers at one point? I'm getting my teams wrong. So if anybody who hears me and say, Ms. V, I thought you knew. No, I'm correcting myself if I'm mistaken, but he talked about the teams that he went to, and this is like the first team that he's come to that has all these banners.
Yes,
he is known as a turnaround guy.
Yes. Yes, if everybody that doesn't remember, at first he used to be an assistant coach of Pat Riley for a lot of years with the Heat, and then he got the reins when Pat Riley stepped down a little bit, and then Pat Riley kind of fucked him over and added him out. And, you know, that year when the Heat won the championship with Shaq and Dwayne Wade, and that could have been Stan Van Gundy's, you know, because that was his team, even though Riley's the one that got the team together, you know, get the players and draft the players. But, you know, he coached them. Then he got out of there, and then he went to the Magic for a few years. And then the Dwight Howard drama happened, which was, disgusting. You know, Dwight Howard being a drama queen and basically got Stan Van Gundy fired. And then he's been in limbo for the last year and a half, 2 years. And I'm just glad he got a job because he deserves one. I think his resume is very good. Now, he hasn't won a championship or something like that. But he has a good career coaching record. He's definitely, I mean, I don't have it in front of me right now, but he definitely has a winning record. I know that for a fact. He's had winning teams. You know, they went to the playoffs. And as a matter of fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that year when the Magic faced the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken, I think he coached that team. I could be wrong. I got to look that up. He could have coached that team. But he's a very good coach, very good, a great basketball mind. you know, his dad was a basketball coach, not in the NBA, from what I know, but definitely like in, I think in the high school range and stuff like that, or maybe in college. But, you know, his younger brother, Jeff Van Gundy, definitely has a resume that's pretty not bad either. So I'm glad that he's got Stan Van Gundy has his chance because he deserves it, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight that the Pistons are going to do, you know, well because you need players. So, you know, let the guy see what he can do. Let's see what happens draft night. I don't know what's their draft pick. What's their draft pick this year,
I have no clue. Shit.
Or do they have a draft pick? You know what I'm saying?
I know
the Knicks don't have one.
Put it like this. The Pistons are so fucking bad that I refuse to even drive out there. I mean, that's how bad they are. I mean, I can't tell you. I think the only person that we got that people's name might recognize is Drummond.
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not, normally I would be like, yeah, boom, boom, boom. You know, we don't have anybody who's standing out. Nobody has made the whole league say, that's the motherfucker that you all want to fuck with. You know, we no longer have a Rip Hamilton or a Rasheed Wallace or Ben Wallace. We don't have that no more.
No.
You know, and that's what we need. We need these motherfuckers. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people who a lot of people did not like when the Pistons were the bad boys. Well, I'm sorry. We need bad boys, too, because they did not take no fucking prisoners. And when they became the bad boys, they were a shit team, you know, and they came out and they did not take no fucking prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
When you had Bill Laimbeer and you had Rick Mahorn, you had the person who just gave up his Dumars.
Yes, Joe Dumars been there forever.
When you had James Edwards, when you had even fucking crazy ass Korea's boy, Dennis Rodman. I'm sorry, I know y'all like, she don't know her names. No, I know who they are, but remember, they've been out the spotlight for a long time. But the whole thing is that when you had them, you know, you had, they didn't take prisoners, and they didn't give a fuck what nobody said in the media. No, they didn't give a damn what was said or done. Their job was to go in there and win fucking championships. But remember, part of the reason why the Pistons went shit became shit was because when Bill Davis passed away, his wife wanted nothing to do with the team. She didn't give a fuck what was going on. She got rid of the spark, you know. So, the shock, not the spark. She got rid of the shock, the Detroit shock.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
really?
Know?
I didn't know they ran that too, the WNBA team too, huh?
Yeah, we had the female team here, so the whole thing is that when he passed away, the morale and everything that surrounded the Pistons, you know, when you had an owner that was hands-on and he cared and he loved that team, well, when she inherited the team, she made it very clear that she did not want it. You know, she could give a shit less, you know. But the whole thing, but at least she was honest about it. She didn't try to hold on to it for the money.
True.
She told them she didn't want the team. And it took a couple of years to sell the Pistons. So I commend her. I mean, she didn't hold on to it because they're worth this much money. I want nothing to do with it. I want Spider had a team who wants it. Boom. The problem is that who we wanted to have the team and who got the team didn't get it. And I have nothing against Tom Gores. You know, I've done my research. He is a Michigan guy, you know. He's homegrown, you know, wheat-fed guy from Michigan. Before he bought the team, we didn't know who he was, and we still really don't know that much about him other than the man is a fantastic business person, and he looks damn good. But, you know, those of us who live here, we wanted the Illiches to buy it because they already own the Red Wings and the Tigers, and it made perfect sense for them to get the Pistons because we want the Pistons back in Detroit. Right now, they don't play in Detroit, and that's part of the – what Tom Gores and everybody's going to have to realize when the Pistons went out to Auburn Hills, we understand that no teams were here in the city. So it wasn't like that they did something that nobody else had done. The only teams we had in the city were the Tigers and the Red Wings, you know. But when they built Ford Field, the Lions committed to come back to the city. And at the end of the day, they do want the Pistons back in the city. And I think unless they get bad boy status, they're going to see that they're not going to have the fan base that they had because they are an hour outside of the city. You know, they're not a hop, skip, and a jump. And I'm sorry, I'm going to call it the way it is. Black folks don't really go to baseball and hockey games. And they half-ass go to football. But when you look at the fucking stands, black people pay for a fucking basketball ticket. Why do you think the All-Star game is so popular? You look at them damn stands.
No, please.
Ever look in the stands? I'm just calling it the way it is.
Yeah, it's Don Sterling's nightmare.
Yes. And the whole thing is that they took, you know, they have been out of the city for a long time.
Hell yeah.
But if you really want that true fan base back, eventually somebody's going to have to bite the bullet and move them back to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Because the African-American community, that's the one time you'll see poor motherfuckers turning pop bottles. Here we have a bottle deposit for y'all. For anybody who wants to say, what the hell am I talking about? Here in Michigan, we have a bottle deposit. So you'll know the jury won't see bottles on the side of the road here because we got 10 cents on our pop bottles. So,
wow, that's right. I think on the side. Lucky.
Yeah, it was a Seinfeld joke because we do. But it's for real.
How come it's 10 cents over there? How was that?
It was a law implemented to get rid of litter. I'm going to give a little history. Back in the 70s, because there was so much litter, not just in Detroit, but all over the entire state of Michigan, people drink pop, they throw stuff out to cut down on litter, they created recycling of the pop bottles. Well, the best way to recycle them was to put a monetary deposit on them. For anybody who lives on the West Coast who's listening to the show, you know about this in California, but California doesn't have a dollar amount. You have to have so much weight, but they also recycle their bottles.
Yeah, over here in New York, it's 5 cents.
And see here in Michigan, 10 cents was chosen. It's been 10 cents since the 70s. And we have a $25 limit per day at a store. Well, I can tell you when I was in college, and this will go with sports, so you guys will say, what the hell does bottles have to do with her being in college? We're going to tie this in. Y'all going to laugh at me, but we're going to tie this in.
It's going to come full circle. Be patient.
But I lived on the aunt. Everybody knows I'm an aunt. I went to Eastern Michigan University, and I was a single parent while I was in college. Well, family housing sits right behind the Eastern Michigan football stadium. I'm also a member of a veterans fraternity.
Cool.
And with us living right there, me, my son, and daughter, I had a hoopty. I had a serious hoopty car. I would drive my car, and me, my son, and daughter, we would walk around with a big plastic bag asking for bottles.
Mm.
And this is outside the football game. And on top of that, as a student, we went to football games free. We live right there. After I filled up, we had people actually putting bottles aside for us. And that's one of the ways that's how I financed part of the way I went through college, by having extra food on the children for my son and daughter, by doing things like this. We help with the tailgate parties, but when they realized that these weren't some strangers asking for these bottles, it was me, my son, and my daughter. And I told them, listen, I'm a single parent trying to get through school. And we went to Benia tailgate parties. I mean, I don't think they tailgate like they used to, because it's changed since I was up there. But when I lived there, they tailgated what's now, I think, the soccer field. And I'm talking about rows and rows and rows. I'm talking about the student tailgaters.
Mm-hmm.
And since I went there and they knew I was a student, shit, I would leave tailgating with about $150.
Really? Wow.
That's
pretty good.
In people's pops and bottles and cans.
Wow, that's a lot of bottles.
And when you're only allowed $25 a day, you know, we would turn them in. And when you figure $25 a day, and this was, for those of y'all who don't know, I started school in the early 90s. It took me a long time to graduate. But $25 a day when you are raising two children on a college campus and working part-time and going to school full-time, well, that $25 afforded the little luxuries like extra groceries. It allowed me to pay my cable bill, because I did have cable. Yes, in college I had cable. And it allowed me to, like, if my son and daughter needed a new pair of shoes or something where I may not have necessarily had the money and would have to borrow it, it allowed me to do that. So the bottles here, the pop bottle law here, 10 cents, you bring the business back to the damn city, I can tell you that you will see motherfuckers, you'll even see the damn homeless people, black and white, getting pop bottles to get a ticket to the game. They will save up for it. But being out on Auburn Hills, I mean, I think it's fucking $15-$20 to park at the Palace of Auburn Hills. That's what it's called. And then you're paying, I think the cheapest tickets are $15-$20. So you're talking $40 for one person to go to the game. And if you're talking about eating while you're there, you're talking about another $25. That's just eat. We're not talking about drinking while you're there. So you figure $60 to go to a game, your average black person doesn't have $60 just to fucking blow on a damn basketball game.
Hell no.
It doesn't cost that much to go to the Tigers game. Tigers tickets are fairly cheap. You can catch the bus down to Tiger Stadium. They have a lot of off-site parking. You have the malls that will bus the people in. They don't afford that at the Palace. They don't make the amenities to get the fans out there. The Tigers, the Lions, and the Red Wings make amenities. You have bars that will sit there and have shuttles that go there so that you can cut down on the parking. Because it costs a lot to park at these games. Everybody knows that. I don't care what city you're in.
Exactly.
But the Red Wings, the Tigers, and the Lions have afforded it where if you don't want to pay that money to park, there are bars. I mean, we have a big bar community down there, and these bars have shuttles that will take people back. So you can maybe park at the bar for $5, catch the shuttle over. You're not, and then they're fucking cheap drinks at the bar. So, you know, you got these shuttles going back and forth, and the Pistons right now are not making it affordable for the fans to come out there. I mean, I've only gone to one or two games, and I could tell you if it weren't for the fact that I can actually fucking afford and I normally get free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I normally get free tickets and free parking when I go because I know people, but this person doesn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about...
Yeah, exactly. No doubt.
That's a lot of money. So, Tom Gores, if you're listening to me, make it a way. I mean, if you're not going to move the Pistons back to the city, find some way to get the fans out to you. Because at the end of the day, we're the ones who make the fucking team.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay, but that was my, you know, my talk today. But
I came full
my question to you, did you see what Verlander did?
He did
a fucked up ass pitch. I did not get a chance to see it. I've been hearing about it all day long that they've talked to him, told him not to do it. I guess he threw a wild pitch because, you know, that other guy threw and hit Torrey Hunter in the ribs the other day.
Oh, okay.
And he threw some pitch. They said it was nowhere near the base, and Justin Verlander is a very good pitcher. But apparently there are people who want him to be fined for it. They want him to get in trouble.
Really?
He's never thrown a ball like this. I was wondering if you saw it because it's been it did happen. It's a Detroit team, so it's been the talk of sports radio.
No, really? No, seriously. So what was this, last night or something?
Yeah, last night.
Okay, so his teammate got hit, right? So he just retaliated, right?
No, but his teammate got hit a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay. So it was the same team, though, right? It was the same team that hit his teammate,
sure,
right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same team.
Because it wouldn't make sense otherwise. But then, So what was the pitch? Like, how does it, like, what did he do? Did he hit him in the head or something?
I didn't hear. That's why I asked you. I don't think he hit him in the head because he probably would have got
him. Let me look. I'm going to look this up. Let's see. Verlander.
Wow.
Fucked up. No. let's see what Google says when I put Verlander fucked up. Oh, by the way, I was right, by the way. Stan Van Gundy did coach the Magic to the finals in the 2008-2009 season against the Lakers. So I was right about that. Not bad. They lost in five games. Only won one game. So, yeah, so like I said, Stan Van Gundy's pretty good. But now back to Verlander. Let me see. Justin Verlander. Very good pitcher. I love this guy. Always liked him. I like him, David Price, and Felix Hernandez. Those three, boy, very good.
Okay.
Justin Verlander be throwing gas towards the end of the ninth inning.
They said Justin Verlander throws ugliest balk in baseball history.
Justin
Verlander.
And
that's what the Chicago Tribune said. Let's see what they said.
Let's see. Okay. Come on, Google. What you got? Let's see. Kate Upton, Justin Verlander taking Bruins Canadiens game. No, I don't give a shit about that. Justin Verlander says pitch slipped behind Nelson Cruz. Okay, let me click on this real quick. So it was against Nelson Cruz. So this was against the Orioles.
Okay, they're saying this was against David DeJesus.
Wait a minute,
let me see. What day is this?
But I see right here, May 14th, 2014.
Okay,
Justin Verlander says pitch slipped behind Nelson Cruz. Okay, let me read this. This is from... What is this from? Okay, some dude in Detroit, Detroit Free Press Sports, by a gentleman's name of George Sipple.
He's really good.
He's good. You know, if you take the S away and put an N, you know what that spells? Nipple. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, it's a little bit of sex in the show. Justin Verlander said the pitch, quote-unquote, flipped. Baltimore's manager, Buck Showalter, said his team had a different intensity level after Verlander threw at Nelson. With the Tigers up 5-0 in the fourth inning, Verlander's appeared to send a message when a 1-0 pitch went high and behind Cruz. Orioles starting pitcher Bud Norris had hit Torii Hunter in the ribs with a fastball 2 pitches after giving up a home run to Ian Kinsinger on Monday night. Okay, so this there was an incident that happened 2 days prior. Hunter took exception, and both benches were cleared. Norris was eventually ejected, and the Tigers went on to win 4-1. Home plate umpire John Tupain, I think that's how you say his last name, immediately issued a warning to Verlander and then to both benches. Cruz stared at Verlander for a few seconds and then grabbed his crotch. As if there was a message, I swear this is what it said, as if there was a message sent on the pitch, Verlander said no. Asked about his view of the pitch, Tigers manager Brad Usmus, which is weird for me to say that. I miss homeboy Jim Leland. I loved him. Brad Usmus said, the Tigers manager said, my view was from the dugout. Well, of course he's going to say that. Asked about intent, Usmus said, as skilled as these pitchers are at this level, balls get away from pitchers, just like I'm sure the ball got away from Bud Norris, which is true, but that's the excuse they can use when they do intentionally do it, and they can say, well, the ball slipped. Orioles manager Buck Showalter came out to have a discussion with the home plate umpire, Tupain, whatever his name is. That's why he talked to the ump. Showalter said, I'm just trying to figure out the consistency of it. You get one pitch and they read intent on Bud, and you get one pitch that's completely obvious and there's intent there, so why do you issue a warning and not eject him? Good point. At that point, I think our guys were kind of hoping he stayed in the game. Yeah, so that way they can, you know, do some shit.
Yeah.
The Orioles were behind 6-0 in the bottom of the fifth when they came back to score 5 runs. Cruz helped the comeback bid with a 3-run homer off Orlando. Ooh, that's the way you get back at somebody. I think he helped us make an adjustment, kind of got everybody on a different intensity level after he threw out Nelson, Showalter said. The Tigers went on to beat the Orioles anyway, 7-5 to complete the
season. So, even though they did that nice hitting, they still lost.
Yeah. So what do you think about that comment that Showalter said about how come when it was with the other dude, Norris, you know, you didn't, like, issue, you know, you issued right away a warning, you know, whatever, you know, you should.
He
ejected
him.
Didn't,
he got ejected.
But yet when my guy gets hit, you don't say shit.
You know what? I think that as in all sports, the umps have who they are secretly rooting for, even though they're not supposed to. And I think that there's bias unless you had the same ump for both games.
Well, usually when there's a series, I know this for a fact, when there's a series, you know, 3-game series, 4-game series, it's always the same umpires for that series. They just rotate. So in other words, if the home plate umpire was behind home plate the first game, he goes to first base the next game. You know, and it rotates like that. It goes from home plate to
basically you had
like
those
that.
Series of umpires, but you didn't have that person behind. And the person, you know, like I said, there could be some bias. I do think that if you're going to inject one, you should eject the other. You know, I'm not going to say he didn't deserve it. I didn't see it. I am a Justin
Verlander. Yeah, I didn't see it either. I got to check this out now.
But, you know, it's been the talk of the city, you know. So that's why I asked what you thought about it because, you know, I did see it. And, you know, it's one of those things where I do feel, I mean, Torii Hunter clearly got hit in the ribs and it was going to be some ass kicking going on. I remember that, you know, I saw that the other day, and I think because it may be also the reaction of the batter, because Torii Hunter went the fuck after old boy and was ready to kick his ass, and I think that's why there was ejection. It was, I think the
intent
may have been different, you know, so with Justin Verlander not looking like he intended to do it, you know, his reaction, even when they came at him, if his body language was much different, I can say that might be why. I mean, I saw the replays from when Torii Hunter got hit, and it was clear the pitcher was ready to fucking throw some, kick some, you know, as they say, hold prisoners. where I haven't seen the replay from what happened with Verlander, but if he didn't do the same thing that they did on Monday as far as body language and ready to, you know, fight, then, and they said that the old boy grabbed his nuts, you know. So, fucking grab, I'm not a man, but let a bitch grab my damn titty and squeeze it. I'm a puncher, you know. And that might be why they fucking won, because, bitch, if you're going to come up and grab his nuts, expect him to come back with revenge, and that's why they won 7-5. You know, they didn't get rid of him, but since he didn't clock old boy for grabbing his nuts, and I'm sure he was pissed about it because we all know that him and Kate umped him in fucking for a minute.
Oh, hell
you know,
yeah.
and I don't think that's a fucking beard situation. I think they really fucking okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. He's not gay. No, he's not gay. Trust me.
No, but I'm just saying, you know,
yeah.
Therefore, you grabbed his fucking nuts and he didn't clock your ass. That's why they let him stay in, because you grab any man's nuts. I'm sorry, as a woman, if I walk up and grab a man's nuts like I'm getting ready to beat his ass, I'm going to get clocked. It's
yeah.
a reaction that you men have. Get
yes.
your nuts grabbed, you're going to beat
yeah.
somebody's ass.
Hell
natural
yeah.
reaction.
Yeah, very sensitive.
You know, therefore, he may have had that look like I'm going to fuck you up, but he didn't do it, and that may be why he didn't get ejected. I don't know why, but, I mean, we all know that you could have a different type of body language. Your body, if your body language says, I want to fight, you could easily be ejected just for your body language. Because if you look like you're aggressive or you're ready to fight, well, get the fuck up out of there, because that means you're going to be ready to throw the next time around. And I did see that Tory Hunter pitch. That was clearly intentional, and, I mean, he fucking cracked a rib, you know. You get hit in your fucking ribs. That ain't no shit with a damn ball going 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's clear intent to cause somebody injury. I don't know where the ball hit the other guy when Justin threw it. You know, if it hit him in the arm or in the leg, even if it was clearly intentional, it's a big difference from him smiting their fucking ribs.
Yeah.
You
by
know,
way,
I'm not.
I'm sorry. By the way, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. I know I've promoted out there on tweeting, but, you know, just in case, you know, we need to push that out there with the phony number. So, you know. Give us a call.
Not the phony number, but the real phone number.
Yeah, I don't mean phony as in phony. I meant with the phone, you know, never mind.
I do not. They'd be like, well, why the fuck are we going to call it?
You
but,
say a phony number. No, I don't mean that.
If you guys have been watching my tweets all day, if y'all noticed I was tweeting like the same thing 5 times, and then I turned around and deleted them. I don't know if you caught that.
No. What was this?
Earlier. I was tweeting about Destiny Dream coming on.
Oh.
And I did like 5 tweets back to back because I hate fucking trying to tweet from my phone. And my tablet wouldn't hook up to the internet right. I was out and about and I had gotten an email. But to clarify everything, the tweet that was originally posted was saying that Destiny Dream's manager was coming on the show to talk about the new mixtape.
Oh, yeah. That I saw. Okay, that I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I got a message telling me that no, Destiny would be on. Now, I know Destiny, so this is going to be a really fucking interesting song.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, wait, one tweet she said is the manager, and then another tweet, it made it sound like it's her. So I was like, okay, somebody's confused.
No, it's actually going to be Destiny.
Okay,
she will
that's
be
cool.
on, and that's why I went, and but then I kept getting the link wrong, so I had to, I
Man,
was fucking up. Yeah, so I finally got everything right, and I deleted they were wrong. But I've been listening to the mixtape. She actually has a twerking mixtape out. So it's different artists that are on there. They have sent a few tracks for me to listen to. So I'm gonna see which ones we're gonna. This show will be promoting. We're going to be promoting the tape, and for anyone who listened to the show earlier in the year, I used to do once a month where I had an artist calling, and, you know, I was contacted, and Taz and Destiny, you know who I am, and, you know, they asked, and I was like, hey, no problem, and I didn't listen to it, and this truly is some fucking twerking music. But it's for the club. It's basically for the strippers. But it's really good twerking music. I'm in the process of listening, and when they come on the show, not only will she be on the show, but we may have a couple of the DJs who did those mixtapes.
Nice.
So, awesome. Calling in. So we're going to have a really long show. We're going to pretty much jump right into that show. We're going to start the show off that night. It's going to be a little bit different than our normal format because we're not going to be talking about porn. We're going to be talking about twerking. So, if you haven't heard, you guys want to listen to that show because we're going to we're going to still have our normal conversation, but we're going to like jump into it because we got some really hot music that's going to be playing that night, you know. So you guys will hear, you'll hear talk, but you'll hear music that night. So we're going to have fun with it.
Nice. So anyway, I can hear this before the show later this month.
We'll have to talk off air.
Okay.
But,
that means no.
We'll have to talk off air. But we have Alexis Golden, number one, coming on next Tuesday.
Yes, it's coming Tuesday.
Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys said, how the hell does anything have to do with sports? Listen, I still have to get, we have to pay bills. So
exactly.
We have to put that out there.
And by the way, I did say with a little bit of sex. So we do practice what we preach.
Yes, we do. And Exotica.
Yeah, well, I saw that.
Everybody watch my tweets. This is from now until July. You guys want to really, really watch my tweets. And I mean watch them hard because there's going to be a few surprises tweeted out.
Yeah.
We're waiting on the booth number for Exotica. We should have that within the next week. We've got a lot of things that's going to be happening at Exotica. So if you have never, if you know people, this is a good time to start following me because some of this shit, and let my Twitter, the Twitter feed does go to the Facebook page, but the whole thing is that you can't fucking respond on Facebook to these tweets.
No, that's the only thing I don't like about it.
Oh, yeah. This is a good thing, though, because, see, these tweets, I don't know what I'm putting out there, but from now until the Exotica, you guys want to really, really be watching my tweets and watching some of the shit that I say because you never know when you might end up with a free gift or what I'm going to do.
Mm.
I mean, remember there is Ladies Free Friday at Exotica, so this is one of those times where you guys really, really want to fucking be watching my tweets and watching what the hell is going on and watching other people who follow me. Don't just watch my tweets, but watch some of the tweets that are associated with me because you never know what's going to be embedded in a tweet right from now until July.
Mm. I will be definitely watching figuratively and both ways. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's because I've got a few people, and, you know, I can't say what's going to be done or how it's going to be done, but if you see that my name is mentioned in tweets, anytime you see my name mentioned in a tweet, you might want to read the full tweet just to see if it's a message in there for you. Because you never know. I mean, July is 2 months away. We are less than 2 months to Exotica Chicago. As crazy as it sounds.
I know, it's crazy.
But you guys want to check out my Amazon wish list. I've updated it. I took off all. For those of y'all who said, how the fuck are them Louboutins was on her list? The Louboutins are off my list now. That's because they ain't got none of my size right now. But I do. I told you guys that it was going to be a combination of high-end and low-end on my wish list. For anybody who does not know me, I love watches. So I have went and picked out some really nice Bulova watches.
Mm-hmm.
And those are on there. And for anybody who wants to help me get back in fighting weight, I have a treadmill on there. So, yes, I figured, why not? You know, why not ask for a treadmill? You never know. If somebody go spend $1,000 on a pair of Louboutins, they could spend $400 on the treadmill for me. What you think?
Yeah, why not? If they can get Louboutins, exactly. They can get a treadmill. Is this one of those treadmills that got the screen where it seems like you're actually running through the exact roads?
You know what? This one, I didn't go through all that, but this one, I made sure that it had an automatic incline, so I would feel like I'm at the gym. So it's a higher quality, but I think it was only $600 or something,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I like the incline, and it goes up to, I think you could be running up to 10 miles an hour. It has a 12 incline, which is a little bit less than the incline that they do at the gym, but it's a very good incline. So for anybody, like I said, check out my wish list. I mean, it's unlike a lot of people who always push their wish list. I really don't push my wish list.
Yes. Say that fast.
Yeah.
Ms. V's wish list.
But right now, you know, I figure my birthday is coming up, and if you want to buy me a nice birthday gift, that's why. So from now until then, y'all will hear me talking about my wish list, because the more things I decide I want for my birthday, that'll be going on my wish list.
What's the exact date? What's the exact date again for your birthday?
My birthday? July 11th.
Oh, okay, July 11th. Okay.
The first day of Exotica.
Oh, wow. What a gift.
I will be wearing a banner stand. It is my birthday while I'm at Exotica. I will be... No, I do. I have a banner that says, "Kiss me, it's my birthday." I got it when I was in New Orleans. I don't want kiss. I want money. So...
I gotta keep it real.
Yeah, I'm keeping it real. You know, I want money.
Yeah.
But I will be wearing the banner that says it's my birthday, and I will be very hyper. I know I will, because our agenda came out, not the Exotica agenda, our agenda came out yesterday for Exotica. Unfortunately, we're doing what we did not want to do because one person cannot get there on Thursday. We are driving up. I hate when we do this. We are driving up Friday morning.
Oh. Ew.
And we're setting up the entire booth on Friday morning.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I have been promised that it will go as smooth as possible. So we are actually leaving out of Michigan before the fucking butt crack of dawn. We're leaving when it's dark because we can start setting up at 9 a.m. So we're going to get in there. We're going to get our booth set up. We're going to get relaxed. Thank goodness that the hotel is attached, so we don't have to worry about like driving back and forth.
Oh, that's good at least.
We're going to stop and grab our food before we actually get there, because we know where to get food at, so we'll be calling and ordering our food so that when we finish setting up, we'll go pick up our food and we'll be relaxed in the hotel, and we'll start at, I think we start at 5 p.m. that day. I'll have to look at the agenda, but the first day, if you guys see me, I'm going to do something trifling. I'm going to have a Miss V birthday jar. I am. Birthday gift accepted.
And this starts, you said, at 9 o'clock at night? You said?
No, it's going to start. It starts on that Friday at 5 o'clock in the evening. It goes from 5 to 10.
Oh, okay.
It's 5 to 10 or 6 to 10. I can't remember. And then Saturday will be there from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m.
That's when the big long day.
That's the big long day. And then the final day is from 12 to 6. So.
Yeah. Saturday's the big day. That's the big one.
Yes. Saturday is the big, big day. But sports, this is going to for me.
Yes.
My biggest thing was the Pistons announcement and.
And Verlander, you was on it.
And Verlander, you know. Well, Verlander was, to me, you know, you were more up on baseball than I am, and I thought you would have heard about that.
No, I didn't hear nothing about that. To be honest, I haven't watched Quick Pitch in a while, and I'll never be networking in a while, where that's when I would know about everything that's going around the league. But even with, but usually they would show something like that during a Yankee game when it's coming back from a break. They would show what's going on around the league, and I didn't see that, you know. So, you know, my apologies. I just didn't know that.
There's no reason to apologize to me. I just, you know. But that's one of the things. I mean, it's been a really slow sports week, in my opinion. I mean, unless you get into soccer, I think that, you know, I know that for hockey, I think it's hockey we're playing in some international or something.
Mm-hmm.
But don't quote me. Because when I say that once my team, I stand by this, once my team is out of the shit.
You don't give a shit.
I'm through.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm through because I tell people I'm a true fan, you know, and
this is what I do. This is what I do, and you probably do the same thing too. So I still watch even if my team loses, only because I like to see who's going to win. Because I still have an interest. And if there's a rooting interest where there's a team I hate, that's where I get interested. So let's say, for example, a team beats my team, right? It doesn't matter what sport. I want the team that beat me to lose. So that gives me motive. Okay, I want to watch. It depends who they face, though. If the team that faces me.
But see, in hockey, I just don't want the Canadians to win.
Well, there's a chance because guess what? They're the Eastern Conference Finals against the Rangers. New York Rangers, you're going to be rooting for my Rangers now.
Well, I was just saying, but, you know, in the case of hockey, my only thing is that once the Red Wings are out of it, I just don't want any Canadian team to win. It's
well,
their damn
you got that chance with the Canadians. Mm.
I know.
And they're the second most winnable franchise in all the sports. Next, of course, the Yankees are the top. Thank you very much. But the Canadians are right there as far as North, you know, as far as sports when it comes to championships. I think they've won like 25 Stanley Cups, 24, some shit like that. They've won like a whole shitload of Stanley Cups. So the Yankees passed that mark a while ago. You know, that was good.
So, you know, that's how that goes.
Yeah. I got an actual interesting stat. And it actually involves around your business in a way when you think about it. No, I want to say it real quick. Now, you remember last week was the NFL draft, right?
Yep.
Okay, now that's a big thing, right? Everybody watches the first round of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a porn stat that actually came out. And get this. The use of porn was actually down 15% to 20% during the first round of the NFL draft.
I'm not surprised.
The next day for the second round of the NFL draft, the use of porn went up more than doubled.
Not surprised.
No, but it's just amazing, you know. But see, this is my point, though. I love how people in general, like, oh, you watch porn? No. You know, oh, I don't watch that. But yet, there's a significant amount of people, and there's a lot. I would say, let's see, how much you think in this country, I would say at least, what, 75% at least in this country?
I would say 85% because the only people, even the Bible toters, and this will go out to the reason why I say that is because
people are undercover.
Well, also, if you look on Twitter, you have a lot of Bible toters on Twitter. My whole thing is, how the hell do you know they do porn?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you're preaching against it.
Exactly.
So
remember what happened to you?
Every time somebody gets on my feed with that, if anybody noticed, you won't see no Bible toters preaching on my feed. And don't get me wrong, I love God and I love Jesus, so let's get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
What I am not is a hypocrite.
Exactly.
That is the one thing that I'm not. And I'm not going to sit here and say I don't watch porn, I don't use toys, because I watch porn and I use my toys.
That's your business.
But on top of that, me and Jesus got a real good relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear me say somebody need Jesus, I'm not being funny. Believe me, if I look and say, oh, you need Jesus, it's
you
not
need Jesus.
You need Jesus.
Bad.
So, for me, you know, if you ever look at my feet, you won't see me talking about porn, people need Jesus or whatever. You just won't see that. It's not going to happen.
No.
And if you get on my feed with that nonsense, and the reason why I say nonsense, it's not because I think loving God is nonsense. It's because I think that for you to go on social networking and proclaim something or tell somebody that they shouldn't do something, you're out of order.
Yeah.
I think there's a time and a place for it. And I don't think for you to go hunt out people who are in the adult industry and tell them how they're going to burn in hell is your place or anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anybody's situation. Therefore, when you go on my feed and go after my people on my feed, I conveniently block you. And I'll, not only do I block you, I report you.
Good.
You know, and I tell people the best way to get people off of Twitter and stuff like that, that's why they have the spam filters. if you notice that a person is not following you, but they are proclaiming something that you don't believe in, you have a choice to do two things. Just ignore them. No, three things. Ignore
them,
block them,
or
report them as spam. Now, I get tweets a lot of times from people telling me to listen to their music. I don't report that as spam unless it's just somebody who's fucking annoying me, because I know people are trying. Twitter is actually to promote your business. Therefore, if you're going on somebody else's feed and you're tweeting people about your up-and-coming music and stuff, I don't have a problem with that as long as you're not overly aggressive with it.
Exactly.
You know, now, if I get 5 tweets from you within 20 minutes, you're spamming. If I get 1 tweet and it's once every 4 or 5 days from you, you know, you try to promote your business. I'm not mad at you. But the person who goes onto someone else's feed and says, stop this person from doing porn, or, you know, start preaching at them, then to me you're spamming, because you're promoting, you're trying to put your own idea out there. So I kind of, at least for me, I shut it down. You know, I don't care who does porn, who doesn't do porn. At the end of the day, I have no right. That would be like me telling everybody that they need to use sex toys. And if you don't use toys, you ain't shit.
Exactly.
Well, am I to tell people that if they don't use toys, it's a person's preference.
Exactly.
You know, will I try to persuade you to use toys?
Yeah.
Yes. That is my job, to try to persuade you. I'm going to try to persuade you with the benefits. Like,
yes,
and enhancing your relationship and other things versus you got to use a toy.
Yeah.
You know?
And shove it down your throat, no pun intended. Yeah.
Yeah. Versus, you know, I'll persuade you. I'll tell you the benefits of this toy.
There's a difference of giving out an opinion, which everybody has the right to have, and shoving your beliefs down a person's throat. That's a difference. And right there, you know, like what we do, we give our opinions, we give our thoughts. We don't shove it down, you know, your throat, saying this is what it is. You don't like a kiss. Or, well, actually, you know, I do say kiss my ass.
We do say kiss my ass.
I'm trying to say, like, we're not a cult leader, like trying to, you know, get people to follow us a lot, something like that. We just say, hey, this is what we think, and everyone has the right to do the same. I got no problem with that. But, you know, don't force it down my throat.
Oh, speaking of forcing stuff down our throat, Sterling.
You read my mind. I just see this breaking news. You heard about this?
Not what?
You probably know. Well, what you say first, or maybe it's the same thing. I'll let you talk first. Go ahead.
Mine isn't breaking news. Mine is that damn interview. I mean, seriously.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I have something different.
News.
I have something different, which is not a shock what I'm about to say, by the way. excuse me. This is coming from SI.com, which is Sports Illustrated.
For
those idiots that don't know. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not sexually inviting or something like that. this is from a gentleman named Michael McCann. Okay, there's a source that says Donald Sterling refuses NBA sanctions and threatens to sue. What a shock that is. SI.com has learned that Donald Sterling has hired prominent antitrust Maxwell Bleacher, who has written a letter to NBA executive vice president and general counsel Rick Butchahan, whatever his name is, threatening to sue the NBA. The letter, sources tell SI.com, claims that Sterling has done nothing wrong and that no punishment is warranted for Sterling. Bleacher also tells Butchahan that Sterling will not pay the $2 million fine, which is already past due. Bleacher ends the letter by saying this controversy will be exonerated. Bleacher's letter makes clear what many have anticipated. Well, first of all, Don Sterling is like, he's seen senile and a bigot. Anyway, Don Sterling will not go down without a fight, and that he is taking active steps towards legislation. A letter of this type is considered a precursor to the filing of a lawsuit. Bleacher's letter offers no and bigotry about, well, about Sterling's intentions. We reject your demand for payment, the letter tells Butchahan, who on May 14th informed Sterling by letter that he must pay the $2.5 million fine. Fletcher's letter goes on to identify two basic legal defenses for Sterling. and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is something that's not going to end for a while.
That's not a shock that he's going to sue, but the whole thing
yeah.
is that the one thing that Sterling does not realize, suing somebody like the NBA, who actually has more power than he does,
mm-hmm.
is they're going to lose because at the end of the day, the court of public opinion don't want you to be the owner. And this is one of those few instances where we can say that the court of public opinion is truly against him. And this is not one or two people. You have the majority of the country, black and white, against you. You know, I'm going to say this.
And Jewish.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to probably get in trouble for this.
All right, here we go. Drum roll, please.
Yes. I'm willing to bet there are even some KKK members who don't like the fuck he did.
Wow.
And some Nazis. And I'm willing to put money on that because the one thing that I have learned in my short life on this earth is that even the most racist and critical of these individual groups, there are limits to what you do publicly.
Mm-hmm.
What they do as a group and what they do individually, believe me, totally different. And I'm not going to say the KKK is going to come out against him, but I'm going to tell you, if he was a card carrier, I could rest assured his card has been yanked. Just like with the Nazis, I'm sure, you know, we've got our neo-Nazi groups here, and I'm willing to bet that they pulled his card also. The court of public opinion is what weighs heavily. His comments on Anderson Cooper is going to kill him. See, what he don't know how to do is to shut the fuck up.
The fuck up, yeah, exactly.
And neither does his wife because both of them got issues.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if he would have kept the fuck quiet and just fucking apologized, the biggest problem here is that he still hasn't apologized. That half-ass fucking apology and then turn around and saying Magic Johnson has AIDS and then how is he a role model because he slept with people. To take the limelight off yourself, what you did is you put a moral on yourself because of all the fucking people in this country to go after. White people love Magic Johnson, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Straight
Everybody.
People love Magic Johnson. Gay people love Magic Johnson. Poor people
Asian
love
people.
Magic Johnson.
Us,
rich people love
Magic Johnson. Spanish people love Magic Johnson.
Jews love Magic Johnson.
Yeah, yes.
Okay?
Eskimos, Samoans, even Martians.
You have alienated more than 90% of the people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So the court of public opinion, when your sponsors start pulling sponsorship, see, the NBA is bigger than you because, see, they have to look at their bottom line, and we've said this before, this is about money.
Yes, I was going to say dollar bills.
The bottom line is that you fucked up.
Big time.
If you own the Clippers, I can rest assured, just like LeBron James said that he will fucking, if you don't get rid of the Clippers, he's not going to play next season. You're talking about one of the most powerful players in the NBA right now saying, if you continue to own this, I'm going to sit out. How much you want to bet? If LeBron actually does not play next season, how many people do you think will not play?
A lot of people are not going to play.
And the whole
Doc Rivers has said the same thing. You know, I don't mean to interrupt Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers has said the same thing. It'll be a problem if he's still here. It'll be a problem.
So, at the end of the day, your team won't work with 50. So, get the fucking team. Sell it while you got the money. Because if you stay on board, the NBA is going to really sue you because they can sue you for causing, I'm sure, as in every contract, there's a thing about what you do publicly. It's about, I can't remember because I'm not a legal person in that aspect of it. But there's always a clause in every agreement and franchise agreement. Remember, he owns a franchise that's part of the NBA. And with that, there are clauses in there about what is done publicly, just like with the players, you know, what you can and can't do, and even what you do in private. His private life has come to the forefront. First of all, you're publicly committing adultery. That right there, you just pissed off all the Catholics. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real. You piss off every single married couple in this country because, see, everybody know people got side pieces. But come on. Your shit done went public with your side piece in a brand new way.
I mean, they didn't try to hide it, nothing.
You know. And then your comments that you love her and all this. I don't care how estranged you are from your wife. You're still legally
married. Yeah.
So you have alienated that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You have alienated black people. You have alienated Hispanics. You have successfully alienated a whole lot of goddamn people. And your franchise can be taken mm-hmm. away from you because mm-hmm. there is a clause in the franchise. What
mm-hmm.
you will and will not do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where his attorney, where he's going to try to argue. You can only argue so much, but like I said, one thing that can be argued is that you are a franchise owner. It's just like with a McDonald's. And I know somebody's going to say, how the fuck do you get McDonald's out of damn NBA?
Easy.
You buy into it. You are only allowed to have it as long as you do what they say. If your McDonald's turns around and go and creates a brand new sandwich that's not from McDonald's, they can take your franchise from you. If your profits are not what they're supposed to, and this is part of owning the franchise, you are expected to make so much money within a certain time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? If you want to see what it takes to lose your fucking team, stay the owner. Because if you have no players to play, who's going to come to your games?
Yeah.
You have no players to play. You have no sponsors. You have no sponsors. You have no revenue. You have no revenue. You might as well go bankrupt because at the end of the day, people come to see the game. And I can tell you what will happen is that the NBA, not only will they win, they will. You might be a millionaire or a billionaire. You won't be shit when they get through with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will make the value of the fucking Clippers one fucking dollar.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. What he's doing is devaluing the value of the Clippers.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's devaluing the team.
Excellent point.
And there's a stand that's being made, and I can see the veteran players telling the younger players, you guys got to sit out, y'all can't play. Because when there are no players, there is no revenue. And make that stance. We're
mm-hmm.
not going to do it. Then what he going to say? Who loves you? This bullshit, my players love me and all this. You're fucking delusional.
Mm-hmm. It is delusional. He's senile. That's what it is. Racist senile. And has a hard on for Magic Johnson because he's jealous because his side piece was seen with Magic Johnson.
And Magic came out. You know, it's sad that Magic Johnson had to have. Magic Johnson is one of the most private people in this country.
Yeah, he don't want to deal with this shit.
He made it. I love his point. He said to be brought into what is something that's going on with him and his girlfriend or whoever she is. He's like, as he said, I don't even know her. Therefore, he said, I take pictures with a lot of people.
Doesn't mean
I don't know her.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's been dragged into this, the fact that this man has had to go public. Magic Johnson, you know, when I see him, I see somebody that people aspire to be, you know, not to go out there and do what he did earlier when he was younger, when he got HIV.
Yeah, when he was a womanizer,
But he stayed married. His wife stood by him. None of his children are HIV positive. You know, everybody in the family was tested. The fact that he has been a very big proponent and everything else is where you sit here. How do you make this bad? You know, how do you do that and think that it's okay? How do you say that? When the words come out your mouth, that man needs Jesus. Okay?
He needs
Jesus.
He needs them.
And I don't know what type of family he comes from, but I'm sure, making an assumption, that his mother and father are probably flipping in their graves. You know, I always tell people, what would your parents think?
Yeah.
He's 80-some-odd years old, so we know his parents have passed.
A while ago, yeah.
What the hell are your parents thinking about you? And see, I want to know how this wife is, because this wife ain't in her 80s. she looked like she may about be about 15, 20 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at her?
Yeah, she looks like about, I would say maybe 60.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, what'd you do to get her?
That'd be money. Because obviously she don't give a fuck about him. She just give a fuck about having a piece of the team. So look, you know, I'm not going to go away. You know, because she said that she ain't going to, you know, get rid of the team herself. Because she says she feels she owns her half. But guess what? The NBA gets a hold of you. You know, it's gone.
But the contract clearly states if one person is told they can't have it, no one can.
And the
all
family can. Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's not even the family. If you read what the NBA said, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But with what the NBA came out and said was that anybody who has controlling interest, when one person is forced to get rid of their controlling interest, all of them have to get rid of their controlling interest.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Not just family. Whoever has controlling interest, whether it's family or not, that's true. You're right. Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. with that, it's a very big thing to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to look at those contracts. And, I mean, I see a lot of attorneys and stuff being involved who they're going to make money, and at the end of the day, he's still going to have to get rid of the team.
Yeah.
You know, attorneys make money. That's what they do. I mean, if their jobs were easy, they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't make money. That's why you got attorneys who make more than some of their clients. Should I know Chris Brown's attorney is bankrolling? That motherfucker
oh,
got rich
yeah.
off Chris Brown.
Yeah. A-Rod's going to make tons of money over that idiot.
Lindsay Lohan's attorneys.
There you go.
You know, and the list goes on. And we're talking about we're only talking about the folks who got in trouble. But let's talk about, you know, let's look at Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
I mean,
please.
Her attorneys are making money not so much as because of anything wrong, but because, you know, there's different things going on in her life. I mean, these attorneys make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and the money that they make is for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
when you sit here and you talk about what's going on and what's not going on, that's when you sit there and say, when is enough enough?
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
you go and hire an attorney, but with the attorneys, their job is to get you out of trouble. But at the end of the day, they can only do so much within their capabilities.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's paying this attorney $1,500 an hour. So guess what? This man that got rich already, I'm sure he done made about $500,000 already.
Yeah, and that's,
you know,
that's the start, yeah.
And that's damage control. His retainer was probably $20,000 for a case like that.
Mm.
And I'm giving out hypotheticals. For anybody who say, how do I know these numbers? I don't know.
Yeah.
I will tell you what I do know. I know for the attorneys that I use for the different things, and I have a couple of attorneys that I deal with, and mine is all on the business side. My retainer is a very cheap retainer, and it's $500.
Okay.
But guess what? That's $500 that's non-refundable regardless if they do shit or not.
Yep.
And then I'm billed. And like I said, I have a cheap attorney, so this is not the norm. But I'm billed at $95 an hour.
Hmm.
So I try not to call my fucking attorney.
Unless you really,
really,
really have to.
Really,
really,
yeah.
really, really, really have to.
So.
That's
we're
a slow walk
this,
to that phone, boy.
You know what? I look at that damn phone and be like, ooh, can I do this? I do a lot of damn research. My attorney actually hates me. They hate me because I'd be like, listen, I'm just calling you. The agreeing. So I.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what I did. Now, do I need to pay you for this or can I do this on my own? And I'm lucky enough that I have an undergrad degree in public law, so a lot of times when I call my attorney, I'm only paying filing fees
mm-hmm.
because they're normally having some secretary or someone else or paralegal in their office do the leg work because I've already done the leg work, but they're doing the foulings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I get away with some things that other people don't do.
Okay.
You know, I might pay $100 on top of the fouling fees or whatever needs to be done, which is really cheap versus paying the attorney $95 an hour and being charged 5 hours worth of work and still got to pay the fouling fees. But, you know, we have gone over as usual.
Yeah. So I would take that this was like your sports rant of the week.
Yeah. You know what? Sterling is my – I need a new
segment?
No, I need a new –
name?
I need somebody new to fuck up.
Well, he don't shut the fuck up. He ain't going away. He's like Jason Voorhees. He don't go away.
Yeah. Oh, you know who could be the sports fan of the week, though?
Ooh.
The football player who got convicted of double murder. I mean, not convicted, but got charged with double murder. The one who's already been in jail, Hernandez.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to really read it, but is it just what? That he's finally going to be charged with the shit or what?
No, he was charged with the murder last year. This is a new case.
Inform me. Go ahead.
From the year prior, now you know last year he is still fighting the case of the semi-pro football player that they say he killed last year.
Yeah, I remember that, of course. Mm-hmm.
Now, but he's still in jail for that.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, there was a grand jury investigation going on for a double murder that had happened in 2012 that we didn't know about. And this was out at a nightclub, and he has finally been charged with that double murder.
Oh. Now, let me ask you real quickly. Was this investigated after the first murder, you know, murder happened last year, or this is before the
It was
murder?
Before.
Really?
This was going on during.
No shit.
Yes.
Wow.
And they finally came down with charges.
Okay.
So I won't really call that a sports rant. I'll say it's a sad piece of news because he's only 24 years old.
His life is done.
You know, it never got a chance to get started.
Yeah, well.
So he's
like
going to spend his entire life in jail.
A guy who's talented, a guy who actually was in a Super Bowl against my Giants, and thank God the Giants won. This makes me feel even better because...
to know
that a guy that did this and they would have beaten my team at Super Bowl 46, I would have been pissed. So I'm glad that this happened. You know, as far as like, you know, that, you know, they caught him with this shit, you know, that, and he did it, obviously, you know, they found proof, you know. So.
Well, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just one more thing where it's just sad that he is being charged with this. So I'll say that at the end of the day, he, you know, there needs to be a lot going on. I mean, I think that I won't call it a rant. Like I said, I will say that it's sad and that with these new charges, I just hope that whatever the truth is, that it comes out.
Yeah.
So with that, I don't want to talk about nothing else bad because now I just got sad.
Well, what a way to try to end the show. Jesus Christ.
Hey, but you know what? Sterling is still on my agenda.
There you go. Well, that's because this dumbass don't shut the fuck up.
I'm waiting on something new. I know he's going to say something to piss me off. I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, he already said that he couldn't have sex with her, that he did have sex with her. He done called her a wild sex woman, you know. So she said that they ain't never had sex. So maybe in his dreams he was fucking her. Because I'm trying to figure out how does an 80-year-old man really get it up like that. And on top of that, remember, Superhead done came out and said the same thing that she said. And she came out because she's not siding with her. She's just saying what she knows.
Mm-hmm.
And Superhead didn't say that was a sexual relationship. And I'm sorry, I don't think Corinne Stephens is the best source for anything, but I'll say normally if a bitch is fucking somebody, that's the one who will tell you, yeah, she fucking them.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I have to listen to Superhead a little bit more on that. But we're going to close out the show until everybody come back and listen to us on Tuesday.
Wow. The show goes by so fast. Even when we went over an hour, it still went fast.
Yeah, we went over an hour.
We went an hour and 15 minutes and still went fast.
Well, we're only 15 minutes over because the show ended at. So
yeah.
We ain't really gone an hour over. But maybe we'll have to start just doing 2 hours. But I don't want to do 2 hours if people don't want to listen.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard nothing. That's what I'm saying. But why? We gave them actually an extra 15 minutes of fun.
But we ain't been tweeting. So we got to take
that's
a little bit
too.
Of that.
That's
you know,
true, too.
A little bit of that blame.
Yeah. That's true, too. I tweet everything else but that.
Well, you're Jamaican. You got 5 million jobs.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You know, hey, I got to do what I got to do. You know, trying to put myself out there. You know, I appreciate all the platforms I have right here.
Oh, I make sure you guys listen tomorrow to the live, your live podcast.
It's Kate actually podcast. Yes, the Bench Warmers live show starting tomorrow. Dollhouse Radio. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, 2 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, every Friday starting mañana, which is tomorrow to you people out there that don't know that Spanish word for tomorrow is mañana. So, yes, it's going to be very exciting. I'm going to have your friend and a guest on my show, on my podcast, Sammy Brooks, as my guest co-host. So it will be a lot of fun.
Well, you guys have fun if I don't get a chance to call in, because I know I'm not going to lie, I will probably not get a chance to call in.
Yeah, so. You'll probably be working, I understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Doing your thing. It would be cool if you did call in, that would be awesome. But I understand if you can't, you know. I know you're wishing me luck in spirit and right now, so, you know, I appreciate all the support, you know. I love everything. I appreciate everything I've done on here. I'm still going to be here. I'm still doing my own thing here, so everywhere else. So, you know, I'm a loyal person. I'm down with all the teams here that are part of my team. So I want to thank you on that part.
Well, until next week, you've been listening to Ask Ms. V Sports, where we talk about sports with a little bit of sex. And just leave it with my co-host, James Acevedo. Make sure you guys come back on Tuesday when we have the beautiful and the sexy Alexis Golden on with us from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on V's After Dark Radio, where everyone comes. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Yes. Peace out, everybody. Latest.
Bye-bye.
Bye.